as I think back to going to places where people have never heard the color red, like that, where people have never experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where people have never experienced somebody who experienced that, that it kind of feels like the message that you're bringing, they can't understand.
Yeah.
Unless God does a miracle.
Yeah, it's true.
Speaking of going, you're listening to Speaking of Going, a podcast about life, friendship, our hope, and how Christ's love compels us to go to forgotten communities around the globe. And because we've experienced Christ's love, we cannot help but speak about what we have seen and heard.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of Going. My name is Ben, or Ban, depending on where you live in this lovely country. Formerly, I was reluctant to do cross-cultural work in a global sense. Now, not so reluctant. I get a lot of joy out of it. I got my good friend Randy here.
And yeah, I'm Randy, or you could call me Randall, or you could call me Faye Armand. And I'm a former atheist, and I'm currently the leader of a little band of cross-cultural workers we call SIM USA. Mm. So, Ben, I think I saw a picture there. It looks like you got a nice present this week from a stranger.
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't know what's happening, I walked out my door yesterday, and there was a box there that was unidentifiable. It did not have a return address, which I was skeptical. And upon opening it, it was a travel cake container. And I'm not joking. It was rectangular.
There you go. So my question is, now are you going to make the birthday cake?
Oh, I think I might attempt to make a cake. The thing is, I don't know how I haven't actually had the discussion with my wife, but she was there when I opened it and she seemed pleasantly surprised. She was like, wow, who knew?
I've done some first level research to see if I can identify the giver.
The sender. The sender.
Yeah. I have no leads so far.
Yeah, I don't have any leads either. I've asked around, that's for sure, because someone knows my address. It's a bit creepy. Like they know my address. And
have you checked it for tracking devices?
No.
Oh.
It seemed pretty basic. I mean, it was just like someone went on Amazon, they clicked the whole, this is just a gift. But I can't figure out how that return address, that one, that's gotcha. Tricky to me.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to some cake at some point now.
Yeah. What have you been up to?
You know, my wife and I, we've been on a little, right before we went on travel, we went up and we bought a piece of artwork. So a few months ago, for the first time in my life, I paid more than $50 for a piece of artwork. So
real money.
My wife and I, somehow she saw a connection to a museum from an old friend, and there was a 3-foot by 9-foot painting there. And it sparked her heart, and I went and looked at it with her, and it sparked my heart too. And so I paid, like, to be honest, a week's worth of my salary for a painting. This is just not something I've ever done before. So we went and picked up this painting, and we sat there and we talked to this dude in his studio for like 4 hours. And he is I forget the name of the thing, but he's a great artist. It turns out he actually believes in Jesus. He believed in Jesus maybe 4 or 5 years ago. Long story, interesting story. Yeah. But this dude, he has the, I think it's called synesthesia, is
that sounds cool.
A special superpower he has.
Sounds like it.
Where he can hear colors. Yep. So I
believe what you're saying.
I mean, the thing is, he talks about looking at the painting and listening to music, and somehow in listening to the music, the music He hears the color in the music that allows him to put it on the painting in the right spot. And so the painting is somehow communicated by the music. So he can, dude can hear the color red.
Yeah. Yeah. The truth is, I hear what you're saying. I hear the words you're saying. I struggle to believe it. I struggle to understand it, to be honest. Like, I believe it exists. I'm not going to say I don't believe it. I actually do believe something like this could exist. I don't know enough about the mind, the human brain and the heart and emotion and all that stuff. But I'm so not understanding of this. I can't remotely put myself in his shoes to experience this.
I went on the internet to research it and see if somebody could put it into a framework that I could understand.
Yeah.
I didn't find anyone. I mean, the condition is described, but yeah.
Indescribable.
I smelled the number four.
That's a tough one. No.
It's just Tony Henson's his name. You can go online and you can look at his collection.
It's amazing. You showed me a photo, and I was blown away. That dude can paint.
It's just like 3 feet by 9 foot behind our couch in our living room. It's going to be exciting. But
that's cool.
So yeah, that's reminded me a little bit of Siegfried.
Mm-hmm.
You're not even going to ask, like, how did it remind me of Siegfried? I was trying to make a random jump here.
It seemed kind of obvious. Colorful.
colorful, yeah.
Colorful painting, colorful wisdom. Hey, what did it remind you about Siegfried?
When he was talking about his conversion experience, he had this one period of time where he was reading the Bible. And it was like words and information, like a book. It was like a regular book with regular words and regular information. It was a treasure. It was beautiful. It was leather bound. It had all that stuff. And then something happened.
Yeah.
And then all at once, that same information, that same material, had a depth and a life to it that he could never see before.
Yeah.
It was, I kind of thought like this other dude that has the ability to see red, to hear red.
Yeah.
Maybe has a different kind of a sense. And Siegfried in his previous state wasn't able to see the life that was in the words in the Bible. And then after Jesus manifested himself to Siegfried.
Yeah.
Then all at once, the Bible was like a different thing to him.
And so we're talking about the two different people that Siegfried was and is, and we're talking about the idea of not understanding something that somebody else has, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That you can look at the same, you can hear, he and I can, you know, Tony Henson and I can both hear the same thing.
Yep.
And I just hear music.
Yep.
And Tony Henson hears red.
And you're talking the same language, you're in the same area of the world.
and then Siegfried number one and Siegfried number two, let's pretend they meet each other. They're both reading the same book. They're both looking at the same thing. And Siegfried number one sees
leather,
a precious book.
Mm-hmm.
And Siegfried number two sees words of life.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it. Hmm. How can it be that they see two different things?
So what I, jumping into the Bible now.
Yeah.
I believed in Jesus in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one particular section of the Bible that for these last 25 years, when I said that out loud, it's the first time I realized this is my 25th anniversary. My 25th Easter as a believer in Jesus.
Well, happy birthday.
The John chapter 13 to 17, like John 13 to 17, if you have a Words of Christ in red Bible, that section is like a bloodbath.
Yeah, all red.
Somehow, I'm not a words of Christ in red is more important than the rest of the Bible type guy. The whole scripture is important. So just for those of people that might hear me that might think that I'm
put down the clubs.
it's not that, but something about that section has always really sat with me, and I think I've memorized the whole thing at different times.
Yeah.
But it's I forget it and then remember it and forget it. But for me, somehow, this last week, for the first time, I really saw a question that Judas asks in a fresh light. So it's like we come to this place where Judas, not Iscariot, says to Jesus, "Lord, how is it that you'll manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Mm-hmm. And so Jesus had said, you know, in a little while, you'll not see me anymore. And Jesus was making a distinction between the two. And Judas was apparently confused by it. And he's saying, how is it? What's your technique going to be? How does this work that you're going to reveal yourself to us and not to the world?
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, why wouldn't the world be able to see? Like, why would it be different? I mean, it's a fair question to me.
So for me, that... you know, the rest of chapter 14 seems to follow right on that. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus now, I don't know, I think I've even memorized it before, but I never memorized it as an answer to a question.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd never seen that either until you mentioned it.
And so so now, as I think back to the Tony Henson example, mm-hmm. it's like he can hear the color red and I can't. It's just a skill that he has or a... something about him. I don't necessarily think that that's spiritual or not. It's just, it just is what it is. But then with Siegfried number one and Siegfried number two, it seems like Jesus was not manifesting himself in the words of Christ in the Bible to Siegfried number one. But then Siegfried number two, Jesus had manifested himself to him. So it's almost like the world and not the world. So I thought, for me, that really brought to life Judas's question, was Siegfried's description of himself. Hmm. And then I started asking myself the question, how does Jesus manifest himself to me that I don't see him manifesting himself to the world?
That's a really good question.
So this whole last section here, I mean, I've been working through memorizing it, and obviously we're not going to talk through the whole thing here. Yeah. But there's one particular verse in there that for me personally, still today, there seems to be Randy number one and Randy number two living here in this body.
Okay.
And sometimes I perceive Jesus, and sometimes I just, by faith, know he's there.
Okay.
So my experience is like Siegfried described Siegfried number one, it was just a book, and Siegfried number two, it was... words of life. Mm-hmm. And I didn't ask at the time. If I could go back, I would. I'd love to know whether his current experience is that the book always feels special, or whether there's changes in level, or in other words,
an ebb and flow.
Yeah. Is it steady Freddy and it's always special and Jesus is always manifesting himself to Siegfried and Siegfried is always knowing it? Or is it...
My guess is there's times where he has to trust that it's true and trust and believe that Jesus is real and that his peace is real, even when he doesn't feel it. What do you think?
That's my guess too. I mean, Siegfried's my hero and I've never asked this question of him, but my guess is that it's an ebb and a flow for him.
Yeah, it's a good question.
So when I dial down to verse 27, it says this. It says, Jesus is telling them, as part of his answer to this question, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world do I give to you." And then he gives a command, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So just in that second little bit there, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. And as I inspect my own heart, what I find is my heart wants to be troubled. It's almost like my heart's trying to find excuses to be troubled.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think Jesus is saying you should never encounter trouble. Your heart will never be troubled. Like the, it's really hard to describe, right? Because it's not a everything will be perfectly smooth. This is obvious, right? We know this. But I feel like I expect that nonetheless.
So,
but there is something calming. There is something calming about someone saying, let your heart not be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. There's something about that, that it's, I'm not so much worried about, will I ever have trouble again? I'm not so much worried about, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have caught myself, become troubled. Like, it's just like, oh, there's a hand on my shoulder, hand on my back. There's someone there. Hey, don't let, there's a different perspective that is, maybe it's otherworldly. I can't see it right now. And this person is saying, don't let your heart be troubled. Like, okay, I can trust that.
For some reason, I think I've memorized this four times before, but for some reason, this conversation with you is the first time it ever occurred to me that Jesus wouldn't have said, let not your hearts be troubled, unless somehow he knew that their hearts were going to try to be troubled.
Yeah.
Right? Right? So yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. it's like there's this, there's a heart with a tendency to be troubled.
Yeah.
That he's asking Judas and the others that are there
mm-hmm.
to take authority over.
Mm-hmm. I get the same feeling from Jesus when he says things like, you know, oh, you have little faith. Why'd you doubt? It's a similar feeling. Like, I don't, like when I'm reading it, I know that I have doubts. When I'm reading this, I know that my heart becomes troubled, but I don't feel condemned that I let my heart be troubled like so much. I shouldn't, I don't want my heart to be troubled. But I actually don't feel the condemnation like, oh, dang, I didn't live up to what Jesus said. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. You do?
I'm just thinking out loud here. So for me, when I go out on a walk,
yeah,
probably when I first talk to Jesus, probably one day out of four, the first words that come out of my mouth is, okay, I feel guilty today. Or I feel like my emotions my heart is somehow telling me that I'm not okay.
Okay. So Randy, you're speaking about reality, Randy. Maybe Ben was speaking about fantasy Ben.
I don't know. But so then I'm out there and I'm talking to him. And I'm like, hey, I don't feel
mm-hmm.
the peace that I imagine I ought to feel.
Ah.
I don't feel
yeah.
the freedom from a troubled heart that I imagine you want me to have. That my emotion, there's something that feels broken here.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually when I talk to him about that, it's not like confessing sin. It's confessing that the state of my heart doesn't look like what I imagine he has for me.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, if I talk to him about that for 10 minutes, I'll come away with a non-troubled heart.
So you'll come away with when he says, my peace I give to you. So you come away not receiving this worldly version of peace. You come away with my peace, Jesus' peace.
Yes. Yeah. I enter into it. But if I don't talk about it with him
mm-hmm.
and tell him that my current experience doesn't match what I imagine it ought to. My current emotion, my current feeling doesn't match what I imagine it ought to.
Yeah.
It seems like it persists.
Yeah.
So at least for this needy person.
Yeah.
One of the formulas for letting not my heart be troubled is to say, Lord God, it seems to me my heart is troubled and I don't even know why.
Hmm.
and I'm needing some help here. And sometimes he'll show me sin.
Yeah.
Sometimes he'll show me worry. Sometimes he'll show me that I'm trying to take control of something. And sometimes he don't show me nothing at all. But just when I talk about my emotion and ask him to help me, it seems like he gives me the strength to put away the troubledness in my heart.
Yeah, that's really good. I've had a weird couple of weeks, actually, now that I'm thinking about it with this. I found my heart troubled for no apparent reason. And I'll be walking and I'll be thinking of stuff. And I honestly couldn't even remember what I was thinking of, but I'll suddenly start crying. Like on a long walk where I'm supposed to be, you know, getting some energy or a run or something like that. And so I know my heart is troubled. I don't necessarily know why. And it's kind of been something, this is maybe TMI, but I've had a couple of weird weeks where I feel like I'm believing something that's actually untrue, whether it's about myself or something like that. Like I'm believing some lie. And so when you were talking about talking out loud, I immediately thought that again is something I haven't been like practicing. I've been in my thought world. And I've probably been in the condemnation mode. Like, why don't I feel great? Why don't I just feel great? I should feel great. I should feel good. I shouldn't be troubled. I should be perfectly fine right now, that kind of thing. But there's some sort of head game that I've been in. And so when you mentioned that, I've really felt something tugged on the inside that that I need to walk and I need to say out loud. I need to talk to God out loud. And then I also need to know that the Lord's with me and he's actually not wanting me to be troubled. He doesn't want my heart to be troubled. And he's saying, don't let my heart be troubled. So like, I need to get to the point where I feel and trust that. It's been now that you mentioned that, we may cut this part out.
Maybe not. I mean, the thing is, I think it's fair. Mm-hmm. For people to know. So we'll talk, we'll think it through. But yeah. I think for me, the one key attribute that I have found that for the first 20 years of my walk with Jesus, I thought of confession as confessing sin.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a story about how God worked through the scriptures, and I became convinced that confession is not just about confessing sin. You confess the Lord Jesus Christ. You confess a lot of things. And one of the things that I have found very helpful to confess is how I feel.
Hmm.
Not as if it's good or bad. It's just a statement of fact. And so confessing that right now, as far as I can tell, my heart really is troubled. That's the fact.
Mm-hmm.
The ideal state is that I do not let my heart be troubled.
Yeah.
And I have no solution. But to me, somehow confessing that before God and asking him to help me figure it out, that's where the power came.
Yeah, and this is the, this is the difference between, like, the world's offer of this is that we might not feel it, but we can trust that, like, it's there. There's some sort of element of trust here happening, right? Between you and God, is it you're making the statement of fact. And that somehow the end result is there is an eternal peace of Jesus you feel, right?
Most of the time.
it's not it's not permanent and all the time. I get it.
I do have to say that as I think back to going to places.
Yeah.
Where people have never heard the color red, where people have never experienced the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where people have never experienced somebody who experienced that, it kind of feels like the message that you're bringing, they can't understand, unless God does a miracle.
Yeah, that's true.
God has to change something fundamentally before they can hear.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a real thing that being with people who don't know Jesus or haven't heard about Jesus, they don't understand what we have, like, that is actually different. And I mean, this is kind of what we're diving into. It's the, or at least what I feel like we're getting into, is it, what is it that we have to offer? Like, what is it that this Jesus piece that he's given to us, what is it that we have to offer that's so different from everything else? And I find myself asking the same question. Why can't people see it?
I remember one time when you and me were sitting at a table,
mm-hmm.
and there was a gal from Uzbekistan.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple from Australia. There was a Central Asian Christian and two Muslim people sitting there.
Okay.
And I remember in this conversation, somehow or another, the topic came up of our common faith in Jesus and our experience of some kind of peace that these two Muslims didn't experience. And there was something in that colorful group experience where Jesus was manifested in Central Asian skin and in Australian skin. And it was manifest in such a way that I remember one of the Muslim gals just started crying.
I remember that.
And I remember somebody asking her what it was. And she said, I don't remember exact words, but it was something like, when I see something about your guys' spiritual experience and you're all so different,
mm-hmm.
it gives me hope that somebody from my culture could also have that kind of peace.
Yeah, I remember witnessing that because I didn't have the language to understand. I was just watching. I don't know if you knew that. I was mainly just observing and super close to the Muslim friends. And watching that, I was just like, whoa, what is happening? You know, what is she seeing? What's she hearing that's so different?
I feel like, you know, this guy Tony that can hear the color red.
Mm-hmm.
He's an artist type dude.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was an engineer or a statistician that could hear red, I feel like I could get inside his brain and I could understand more about hearing red.
Yeah.
But he's just so different from me. It's hard for me to bridge that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a lot of cases, when people are in a culture that has no expression for how to have Jesus manifest himself to them in that culture, that they're isolated in a way that it's hard for us to understand.
Mm-hmm.
But in that case, what I found was this Muslim person could see, okay, for this type of person, That's how they hear red. For this type of person, that's how they hear. So they're seeing how Jesus manifests himself to five different cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow in all of that, they're able to say, I think I see how Jesus could manifest himself to me.
Yeah. I mean, the truth is, you're a guy who's never spent a ton of money on a painting, and somehow this guy figured out a way through his art, right? He made this painting that you connected with and you were emotionally moved by and you understand. Or maybe you don't fully understand. You really love it.
I think you're right. I think that there probably is a sense that on some vague level, he's showing me how to hear the color red through his painting.
Yeah, that's cool.
Hmm.
Amen.
Father, I thank you for Siegfried's ideas about bringing color to the kingdom. I thank you for Tony's special gift of hearing color. I thank you for Jesus' special gift of bringing peace.
Hmm.
I thank you for this group that gathered together at this table. and showed many different ways that Jesus' peace manifests itself in human form. I thank you for these two Muslim friends who experienced secondhand the peace of Jesus. I pray, Father, that somehow, some way, you would lead these two friends that I love to a full commitment and a full appreciation for the goodness of Jesus, and that you just fully manifest yourself to them and give them the ability to manifest the goodness of Jesus to their friends. And I pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you ever considered becoming a cross-cultural worker? Convinced that no one should live and die without hearing God's good news, we believe that He has called us to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ in communities where He is least known. Visit us at simusa.org/connect to talk to someone about serving in mission. This has been an SIM USA production.